Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is currently 11 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest in the studio today is Huron County Clerk Peggy Kaler. Huron County Clerk for about another, about 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
And the reason Peggy's here is we are going to be getting a little bit about all the things that have happened over the years in the clerk's office. First of all, county clerk's office, how would you describe it? Is it like the starting point in county government for getting the information you need?
It is kind of a receptionist type area. It's usually every day is utter chaos. There's over 1,000 statutory duties that belong to the county clerk's office, and anything from vital records to passports to gun permits to elections. Board of Commissioners, all the court records are under the jurisdiction of the county clerk, and it's a busy office.
It's an elected position, but you need somebody going in who really understands what they have to do. It isn't simply just an administrative job. You're pretty hands-on.
Yes. In the smaller counties, you don't have individual departments that take care of everything. You have to be a working clerk, so to speak.
You have to be a jack of all trades. You have to be able to do all 9,000 of the things the law says you have to do.
Correct.
Now, obviously, you do a lot of a few things, and some of those are kind of laws that don't pop up very often.
That's correct. And there are things that I do specifically and only I do, but the staff in the office who are absolutely phenomenal, they created a manual. So if I do have to wait on a customer, I can actually go to a manual and find out exactly what to do from start to finish. So,
well, there are things that need, like, your signature. You are the elected official, but there are other things you can delegate. And the key is to be able to delegate or you'd be overwhelmed.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, two of the girls do the payroll accounts payable and the Blue Cross and workman's comp, unemployment, and they cover that for me. So I know about it, and I know the basics, but I trust them that they can do everything else and cover it.
So they have their specialties.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they're the ones that can then go to, like, seminars and these things that, because they're the ones that do it day-to-day.
That's correct.
How long have you been county clerk for Huron County?
14 years.
And you were appointed and then reelected several times afterwards.
Yes, I was appointed by Judge Knobloch in December of 1997, had to run for office in 98, and have run unopposed since then.
And you are retiring as of the end of the month, so we're still waiting to hear about who your replacement is going to be. Again, it's going to be the judge.
Yes, Judge Knobloch will be doing the appointing. He is currently on vacation, and he will be back in the office next week. So I haven't talked to him since early this month.
And is that something that is just basically his decision, or is that something that you kind of say, I know this person, I know that one, I don't know this, you know. Does he seek help out that way, or is this basically a judicial thing he mulls over?
He will mull it over. He makes the final decision, but he has talked to me and will, I'm sure, talk to me again once he gets back from vacation before he makes his final decision. But I do recall that he spoke with Helen quite a bit before I was appointed as well.
Your predecessor, Helen Lemansky.
That's correct.
Now, you've been clerk for 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
How's the job changed? We've seen so much change in technology and the way things are done in the last, 15 years. I imagine the clerk's office just didn't sit in a little bubble and say, we're not going to do that.
Unfortunately, well, it has changed, and it's changed a lot, and a lot of it is for the better. At one point, we were doing a lot of the checks and the payment of bills by putting the checks in the typewriter and typing them out. And just until a few years ago, our trust and agency account, which is money that has to be put into the county funds but then is paid out at a future date, we just put that onto computer. So that was a three-ring binder that we'd take the page out if somebody paid money in, and then we'd type it in, and then when the money went out, we would take that page out and put that it was paid out. So that's been a really big time saver. The year I started the implementation of the Qualified Voter File, which is a statewide list of all the voters in the state of Michigan.
Before that, it was basically the polling places had a poll book, and that was pretty much it, wasn't it?
They had they had registration cards, and the clerk was not, the county clerk did not have those records. They were all in the townships. Well, the Qualified Voter File took all of those records and put them onto a digital, computerized system.
Sounds like something that they had a problem somewhere in a big city somewhere with some people voting who shouldn't have or whatever, and then everybody got stuck with the paperwork.
That's correct. So, and that was quite an interesting project in itself, because we had to enter in and verify all of those names that were put into the Qualified Voter File. So that it took quite a bit of time.
So you had to make sure that somebody hadn't moved and they didn't cancel their voting in one precinct and ended up in another, and they're really registered in two.
Yes.
And it sounds like then you'd have more voters in Huron County than you have people who can vote, and then computers tend to like to spit that back out at you.
Oh, yes. Yes. It can come back to haunt you, so.
But you got all of that done. Now, is that something that just now is a maintenance thing, or do they keep changing it on you?
Oh, no, that they might do a few updates here and there, but that's been a pretty solid system, and it works really well. And Melanie, my election assistant, she is the person basically in charge of the Qualified Voter. The files are updated, so all the changes that are made statewide, the state updates them every night. And then on Fridays, Melanie processes all of the updates and then sets them aside for all the individual townships that have changes. And then periodically, when somebody from that township comes in, they stop in our office and pick up, new voters or voters that have been removed.
And that's all still paper, and it isn't a transfer to their computer or anything yet?
No, several of the townships and cities have lookup where they can actually go on. And but a lot of them rely on the county clerk's office.
A lot of the townships, well, put it bluntly, don't have a lot of money.
Correct.
They have the essentials they have to get done, and they don't want to charge anybody any more taxes than they have to. And these are things that don't get updated.
Right. And we buy all of our supplies in the office at huge quantities. So we do charge back to the townships for the printing of the MasterCards and that, but it's at a nominal fee compared to what they would have to pay if they did it themselves.
Now, we're on the topic of elections, and I know that changes. It seems like every time there's a new legislature in session, somebody comes up with a new idea that's going to make this good. A few years back, it was, let's just have four elections a year, but we're going to have our fifth one in September, so that didn't really hold. So how has that changed through your tenure?
The elections has been the one portion of my job that has changed the most. It started out with election consolidation, where the school elections were given over to the county clerk's office, and then the county clerk had to administer or coordinate all of the elections. So the schools no longer have any part of the school election process.
But that makes it so that you have to have multiple roles, because you can have people in a school district but maybe have a township that's split, or maybe have a, you know, you've got village and then you've got township, and then all of these things come together where they could have separate issues, which all means separate ballots, which all means you have to have enough of everything so that somebody doesn't come to the polls and say, oh, well, we're out of those.
Correct.
Ballots.
Correct. It's a quite a thought process that goes into any election, and I love the election portion of the job.
It's the heart of our democracy, really.
Yes. So, but Thursday of this week, the township clerks and township and city clerks are going to be implementing the electronic poll book, which will be in use next year at all the precincts. And what that is that you will come in and swipe your driver's license, and your name's going to come up on a laptop, and it's just a different way of processing the voters. It'll be identical, but it's just going to keep the format in a simpler, simpler format where you won't have to physically count everything. The computer, the laptop's going to do everything for you at the end of the night.
But there have been counting problems, you know, where the poll book doesn't match the number of ballots that went out and all that. And those are our election night delays that they have to reconcile before they can actually give unofficial results to you, because you want the right numbers when you're going to have to end up forwarding them to the state and state races.
And I have every confidence in, you know, everybody, the election workers really do a good job. But I think until the end of time, there's always going to be election snafus that come up. So,
but hopefully we're past dangling chads.
Yeah, hopefully.
Which probably brought about a lot of the changes in recent years.
It has, and I know that I've been told by the Bureau of Elections and by several vendors that our election equipment is becoming obsolete, and possibly in the year 2013. It looks pretty good that all of the state will be getting new election equipment. Very similar, it'll be the optical scan. It'll be just, you know, just an updated version of what we have now.
But until the state supplied all these machines, you had to plan for what was happening in each precinct. You had paper ballots in some small precincts. You had the old mechanical machine clunkers.
Mm-hmm.
You had the optical scans, and now you have the optical scans and the touchscreen ones for the disabled.
Correct.
So you've come a long way from, you know, we're next here and we'll count them out manually at the end of the night.
Yes, and on the paper ballots, if you put that X in the box and you spoiled your ballot, the whole ballot was spoiled with the new technology and the new equipment. Even if you overvote or do something wrong with one contest, it's still going to count all the rest. So that's what makes the technology really nice with the new equipment.
And the other nice thing is if you're there and there's a problem, it'll spit it back out.
Yes.
And you get a chance to redo it.
That's correct.
Which was never the case before.
No, except on the lever machines, you couldn't pull the handle to open it up and have your votes counted if you had.
There were some big burly guys who probably could. and as I understand the machines now, they basically have like a packet they bring into your office. It's getting further and further away. We have the paper ballots, which are good for, you know, if there is a problem, you've got the paper still. But most of it is really the electronics nowadays.
Yes. And I think it's just going to continue to be that way, and who knows? Who knows what the future in elections will bring?
Well, and that was one of the areas that you ran with, is you learned about these machines, and you were good at checking them out and saving people money about not having to have somebody come in and verify that these things run, because not every ballot is printed exactly the same. The people who are running can be flip-flopped in some, and these have to know, have to be able to read it properly and get the right votes.
You have to test the ballots every election. You have to chart out all of the ballots according to what the state tells you you have to do, how you mark certain ballots, and then you have to mark test ballots, and you run what's called the public accuracy test. And if you see an ad in the paper, that's where each precinct has to run their ballots through to make sure that they are recording properly and that any way you put that ballot in, it's going to read. And that is, I started a side business out of my house last year doing charting for the townships and cities if they wanted me to. And
because they were paying other vendors to do this.
Yes.
Because
or doing it themselves.
Because it was, you know, something that had to be done properly and signed off on.
That is correct. You have to certify that you've tested and then seal the election into the equipment after your public accuracy test so nobody can modify it between the date of that test and the date of the election. So
it's not just as simple as getting in your car and give me a ballot and away we go. You have a lot of work in advance of all of that.
Yes, yes.
And do you see that changing in the future? I mean, is that something, always something new on the horizon?
There will always be something new. And
we
even
were talking a little bit before the show that the state was talking about taking over the whole thing, but I guess that's a wash now, where the Secretary of State was going to really step in and do all of this, because that sounds like statewide that would be a headache.
I don't think that it's going to go that direction, and any proposals or proposed legislation is really at a standstill right now.
Okay.
So
they're all looking for revenue, and if they can charge for it,
mm-hmm.
You just got to make sure that, you know, what you're charging for is going to pay for the people you're going to have to do it.
Right, right. And we do charge. We charge for creating the ballots for the township, which my election assistant Melanie and I both know we've been certified to do that. Some counties will just pay a vendor, but when you total out what those vendor costs are, it's pretty cost prohibitive.
Well, and you've got the ability then, you know local people, you know how the names are spelled, you know, these things can go through somebody, a spell checker, and come out really crazy, and then you've got ballots you really can't use because they're not saying for the right person.
And when you program the disabled equipment, the auto mark, you have to phonetically say the name on, you know, so that it's there for the people that cannot read, or not read, but can't see. And then they can hear the name phonetically. You have to phonetically put it in correctly. So.
And are those utilized a lot?
Or no.
Not really?
No, not really.
I mean, it's good to have it available. I mean, I understand that. But is that something just because of our population size, or in major cities maybe it's used more? Or
I think it's used more. I don't know. We've had people use it, but mostly it's been the election inspectors that use the automark equipment. So,
or if it's really crowded in there and you just got an
yes.
open machine, you can go there and use it. It's as valid as any other of the voting machines.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So.
And are you going to miss these elections? I know you used to pull your hair out on some of them, trying to get them ready.
I will. I'm not going to miss the elections. I'm going to miss the elections, but the preparation for them and the headaches involved with getting ready, because, you know, you get this deadline mm-hmm. from the state, and those are statutory deadlines. You have to have this published by then, and this, and this, and I market in Red Ink, or I did market in Red Ink on my calendar. That was the first thing I did in January of every year, so just so I didn't miss any deadlines.
Because they get to be sticklers on these things.
Absolutely. And all it takes is one person to come forward and say, did you do this? And then you start to second guess yourself.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a pause, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida, a quiet lake in northern Michigan. Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswack in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back, and our guest today is Peggy Kaler, the retiring Huron County Clerk. She loves to hear the word retiring in that title.
Sure do.
Clerk's office is also a place where a lot of people go when they're doing their family history, genealogy stuff. Is that something that is taking up time from your staff, or have you tried to find ways to accommodate people without pulling them off of other things as far as your workers?
They changed the requirements several years back where now you can't, they used to be able to get the index books, find the names that they needed to look up, and then the staff would just take out those particular books and let them have them. Now we cannot allow them to just have the book and be able to look at every death record or any marriage record. Now we have to give them the information off of that. Unfortunately, we've had to limit our hours, and Wednesday and Thursday now are the only days that we will allow genealogy because of staffing issues, and the reason that we have to pull out the books. All of our books are still handwritten, and nothing is on computer.
And I assume this probably was a privacy thing. Again, some big county, some people were doing nasty things with looking up, seeing records that weren't what they were really looking for, and...
Correct.
And you got the whole privacy issue, and that's a big thing. And your office has to strive to protect people's privacy while being a public records office.
That is correct. So there are people that will go in and find death certificates for babies, and they'll write down all the information off that. Then they'll apply for a Social Security card, and away they go.
Well, the whole identity theft thing you have to worry about.
Yes. Yes.
And then some child who didn't even get a chance at life has got a bad credit record out there.
That is correct. And it's a very unfortunate thing that that happens.
And these are all in large format books? I mean, basically they're humongous, heavy books for the most part?
The older records, our records go back to 1867, and the indexes are very heavy. And then the early, up until about 1920s or 30s, all of those records, the marriage, the birth, and the death, are recorded in big books. They weigh about 45 pounds. We have one that's about, I swear, 75 pounds. But and so then they're just like one line across. It's not. It's all calligraphy. Very beautiful writing in it, but...
Must have been a prerequisite then of being in the clerk's office is that you had legible handwriting.
Yes. Yeah, it had to be because this writing is just beautiful in the books. And then after that, they have the official documents. And those official documents are kept in binder books, one for each year. And so if you came in and you wanted a death certificate from the 40s, then we could pull up the official record that gives the time of death and the reason for the death and that. The older books just give the basic information.
And I imagine the calligraphy came in handy because in those days there weren't computers that printed out really nice, you know, death certificates and stuff. It all had to be done by hand, and it all, you know, you wanted something that, you know, could go into the family Bible.
Right. And believe it or not, all of those records are still being indexed by hand. I told the commissioners last year, I said, well, I've asked for, you know, 13 years for vital records for imaging system, and I haven't gotten it. So you'll see me next year. I'll ask again. Well, now I'm retiring, so I'll have to make sure the new clerk asks for vital record. We do not have a separate fund that we can keep just for the clerk's office to use for technology and that. We don't have any extra money, so, and it's a costly venture, but it would be so.
There are offices like the Register of Deeds and the Treasurer's Office, I believe, that certain fees go into this fund and it builds up and then they can get the things they want, but that hasn't been enacted for the clerks at this point.
That is correct. So, you know, it's just something that I've always wanted. And then if somebody did come in and say, I need a death certificate for this, they could sit right at their computer, punch in that name, the whole document will come up on the screen, hit the print button, it's gone. You will no longer have to lift the big books out. It's something in the future, and hopefully it'll be happening pretty soon.
Would such a database allow you to eliminate the big books eventually? I mean, we're trying to get to a digital age where we don't have all this, you know, maybe some of the old ones just for sentimental sake for the historical society, but, you know, the everyday practice of it, it just seems like, I know you've said for years your vaults are full, and you've got stacks in the aisles and stuff trying to keep things going.
I'm a big history buff, so I would never, if I was still in the office, I would never get rid of the old things. The biggest problem in the clerk's vault is the court files, and we still have the court files from back in the 1800s. And you can, there's ways of imaging all of those documents, too, and there's ways of cleaning out the files and just leaving the original complaint and then the final order, the disposition of the case. That is just a matter of finding time to do it, and we just don't have the time to be working on stuff like that.
But if you had it digitally filed, you know, complete, then you wouldn't need those other ones. You just have the more historical documents to keep.
That is correct.
But all that isn't going to happen until an imaging system comes, and it won't be in your watch.
That is correct. But boy,
Unless it arrives next week.
I'm putting it on a list for the new clerk. You know, make sure you ask for this because the budget is next up in line, and I've been working a little on that just to help out. So,
now, some of the things people might not realize, the clerk's office, that's where you go for a concealed weapons permit to
that
start the
correct.
Process. Because you... are the starting point, really. You get them going, and then they have to get their picture and all the other stuff taken care of, but they need to get the ball rolling.
Yes, that was another thing the legislature decided to give to the county clerk. So, but we've got it down to a science, so it's we have the camera in our office for both passports and CPLs, so it's one-stop shopping.
Now, I understand passports... You had a little difficulty because, again, some county somewhere had a problem and they dumped it on you because a lot of the times the birth records are in the same place they're getting the passport and the same people are getting it. And then if you have someone unscrupulous in a large city doing something they shouldn't, then all of a sudden it trickles down and makes regulations for you that are virtually unlivable.
What happened there is I've been working with the passport agency in New Hampshire who governs our section of the country. And all summer long, we've been going back and forth with diagrams, questionnaires. We had an auditor come in, and I've taken a lot of pictures and emailed them to them. But last week, we got the authority that we will now be allowed to continue with the passport process. We're going to have to remodel our office just a little bit, probably about $1,000 worth, and then they will come in a separate door, and there'll be locked cabinets for just the passport, and only one deputy will be allowed to work on passports.
Now, is it a faster process through the clerk, or is it pretty much the same anywhere you go for a passport? Because your office tends to get things out timely, and that's always a good thing.
We mail them out the same day that we get them. We have to. And it is the same procedure no matter where you go. If you go to the post office or wherever, the reasoning behind getting it at the county level is that the administrative fees are coming to the county. So that's why I urge people to come to the county clerk's office.
Well, and the other thing was they were already coming to you for a birth certificate or something anyway.
Correct.
So... You had them in the door,
mm-hmm.
So it
yes.
just made sense to make it one-stop shopping if you could.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from the post office. I'm just trying to keep as much local money in the county as possible.
And is that a big business, or is that something that...
That's almost 10% of my revenue budget is passports.
From fees?
From the fees, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was one thing that I really fought hard for because I didn't want to have to lose it.
We should be glad that people travel a lot more today than they did in the old days when people would say, I've never left Huron County in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that just don't happen anymore.
Yes, it doesn't. It's amazing how, well, I remember when I was a kid, you know. It was rare that we went out of county.
You can remember way back then.
And Craig, I can remember, you know, you and I have worked together through the circuit court and through the clerk's office now for 30 years, so.
Yep, been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we need to ask, retirement just going to be retirement? Is it going to be a working retirement? Is it going to be a, I'm going to learn to knit retirement?
I hate to knit. I like to sew. But it's going to be a retirement. I'm hoping a little bit of both. And I want to get some projects done around the house. And I do really love to weed and work in gardens and that.
I think you could get a job doing that. People would probably pay you to come in and weed their gardens because I know a lot of people who hate that.
Yeah, that's just something. I'm just kind of a fanatic about that. But work in the yard and read a lot. I haven't read too many books since I've been clerk. And
you read manuals. You read
yes.
Yeah, emails and everything
stuff
else.
To put me to sleep. But, yeah, I'm just going to take it easy for the month of September. And then I'm going to work on my home-based business with the elections and hopefully can keep my foot in the door a little bit with the elections, but not coming back to, you know, to actually work physically with the county.
And that'll allow you to expand your business, though, into other areas of, you know, you basically had your full work day plus this on the side. It didn't give you a lot of time. You have a little extra time, election periods too, to help maybe people in townships outside of Huron County.
That's exactly what I plan on doing. I should have never started a home-based business when I was working full-time last year. It was pretty crazy.
Well, that's how you start getting your reputation. Yes. That's the gal who gets it done.
Oh, so, and other than that, I'm just going to wait until my husband's ready to retire and then maybe do some traveling and that. So, but he said he's having too much fun yet. So,
well, if you need a passport, I know where you can get one.
That's right. County Clerk's Office.
Well, we wish you well in your retirement. I assume it was a long thought out process. And
it was. It was. I just didn't know if I had it in me to do another closed presidential primary. And you know, there's a lot of issues that'll be coming up, and the major election years, the presidential election years, that's when all the township offices are on the ballot and that, and I just didn't know if I had it in me to go, time to turn it over to the young kids.
And then they do the things like they did the last time, and they made a presidential primary a week or so after we had our regular February election, which the machines aren't even ready to be released for you to use again.
That's correct, and they're thinking of doing that again this year, so.
Because these machines have to remain programmed and armed so that if there is a problem, you can go back and look at it. It isn't something you just say, oh, we're done, erase.
Correct.
There's a whole procedure and a whole time frame and series of things that have to be done and verified before that can happen, canvassing and everything else. And
yes, the election is never over on election day.
And if you get a recount or something, then you've got to have the machine available for that.
That is right.
And do we want to touch on recounts? I mean, we had a little bit the last time. You in the learning curve with the recounts and some of the problems that cropped up. Those were being addressed, as I understood it, after the election.
They were, and, you know, everybody makes mistakes. These were major mistakes, but I think the election workers have learned from this experience and hopefully will learn
and
from it.
And you got everybody new canisters?
Yes.
They're all the same, so there's one technique to learn.
That is correct, and we even sealed onto each one of those ballot containers a plastic sleeve, and we took a regular state seal and sealed it on there, so that shows exactly how to seal that ballot container.
We're human, but we learn from what goes not as smoothly as we wish.
That's correct.
Wish you well in your retirement.
Thank you very much.
Sad to see you go, and we look forward to working with the new clerk. I hope you'll leave her a note saying, you know, there's good people here, don't Don't worry.
Yep, and I do have confidence, and I'm making up a manual on how to. It's called a how-to manual for the county clerk, telling where the files are, where to go to find things, who to call if you need help, and so I'm hoping that helps out a little bit.
Because your phone's going to be off the hook.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you,
And good luck
Craig.
With your retirement.
Thank you so much.
Our guest today on the program has been Huron County Clerk Peggy Kaler. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll pass along all the latest in the news. Retirement's at the end of the month.
That is correct.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.